Oh, good morning. I'd like to read to you from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. And the title of this talk is The Light of the World. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me. And you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, Where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. You will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, which is what we get from verse 12. But what is light? It's a basic question, isn't it? What is light and where does it come from? Light is a type of energy which comes from a light source. We need light for our eyes in order to see if they are able. Light sources can be natural, such as the sun, which is our main source of natural light, or from things burning. We also get light from manufactured sources, such as ceiling lights, lamps, torches, candles, and even electronic devices like phones and televisions. Light usually travels in straight lines, and it is considered to be the fastest moving thing in the universe. Darkness is the absence of light. Unlike light, which is created by a light source, you can't create darkness. To make somewhere dark, you have to stop the light coming in. There is visible light from visible radiation, and also invisible light, which some people can experience if they sit underneath an infrared heater. Light is important for safety. Boats have red lights on the port left side and green lights on the starboard right side. The rule for boats coming towards each other is to angle to the right. If you see the red lights of the other boats, then you know that all is well. If you see the green lights, it means that you or they have turned the wrong way and may collide. Light guides us and warns us. Light helps us to understand. If you look at a book or are looking at signs in the street, you'll need light to read and understand. This is so fundamental to our world that we associate light with understanding. We can talk about a light bulb moment as we understand something. You may say how that you begin to see the light as you start to understand. These things are what we associate with light. When the people heard Jesus say, "I am the light of the world," what would they have thought? During the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a great ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple, which involved the lighting of some golden oil-fed lamps in the court of the women. These lamps were huge and could have been about, say, 23 metres high, and they lit the temple at night. All night long, the light shone their brilliance. It is said illuminating the entire city. As part of the celebrations, people would dance with lit torches in their hands, singing songs and praises. Many Levites with harps, lyres and cymbals, trumpets, and other musical instruments were there upon the 15 steps leading down from the court of the Gentiles to the court of the women. Here's a question. Why the lampstands with so much light? I understand that this was to remind the people of the pillar of fire that had guided Israel in their wilderness journey. But there is also something else. There are some verses that tell us of a time in the future when God will come to rule and reign. The old order of things will change. In Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 19, it says, God says, "The sun will no longer be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory." Here is another one, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. "On that day there will neither be sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light." The prophet Zechariah forever identified the Feast of Tabernacles with the kingdom reign of the Lord God, as a time when all the nations will go up from year to year repeatedly to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah teaches that this harvest celebration is pointing toward the future harvest of the nations to the Messiah. So these huge lamps were a reminder of the future, when the Messiah would come to rule and to reign. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," during or soon after the end of the celebration. So the impression and meaning of light would be very much in the minds of all who had come. Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," is the second of seven I am declarations of Jesus recorded only in John's Gospel, and they point to his unique divine identity and purpose. In declaring himself to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming that he is the exclusive source of spiritual light and understanding. No other source of spiritual truth is available to people. With the light in the temple, the imagery is reinforced by reference to a dark path along which people are walking with the help of a bright light. Anyone wandering from the light finds themselves in darkness. This figurative use of walking is particularly characteristic of John's writings. Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Physically walking in darkness can be quite dangerous. Without Jesus as our guiding light, we are in danger of dying in our sin. We need to have Jesus as our guide and we need to trust him. From verse 13 onward, the Pharisees try to put Jesus through a judicial process as though he were in a court for a crime. But Jesus could make claims about who he was, even though they didn't agree with it. And although Jesus talks about the Father, who is plainly God, the Pharisees ignore this and reduce the conversation to being about an earthly father. Now, Jesus often speaks about his Father, God in heaven. In John chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They couldn't deal with this, and so preferred to remain in darkness and think that Jesus was talking about a human Father. Jesus told them that since they don't know him, they don't know the Father, that is God. The Pharisees thought that they honoured God, but by dishonouring Jesus, they were doing the opposite. The Pharisees wanted Jesus to be arrested, but in verse 20 we get the enigmatic phrase, "His time had not yet come." Who is deciding when Jesus' time had come? God is managing the schedule, the timing of the events that happen. Those that would want to harm Jesus might believe that they have their own schedule. But as the Bible says, even evil people can do God's will, though they won't be aware of it. God's plans always succeed. From verse 21 onward, Jesus speaks about himself. Jesus tells them that they will die in their sins, and that where he was going, they would not be able to come. They did not think much of Jesus and assumed that he would commit suicide. This was thought to be wrong, but also ironic, as Jesus would die and then go to the Father in heaven. Jesus had come from heaven to be the Saviour of the world, but if they don't believe that he is the one to come from heaven, then they will die in their sins and face judgment for them. Jesus speaks of being lifted up in verse 28. Now this is in the language of Isaiah 52 verse 13, where it says that the suffering servant will be highly exalted. But we with hindsight can also see that this refers to Jesus when he is raised up on a cross. A major theme of Jesus' teaching in this debate with the Pharisees is the fact that he has been sent by God. In verse 29, Jesus says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." The miracles Jesus had done should tell these critics that he is operating with the blessing of God. Jesus has also been consistent in professing to have God's judgment, power, and knowledge. He has stated his role as the one and only source of spiritual truth. And yet critics such as the Pharisees reject Jesus. They fail to grasp his message, not because they cannot know, but because they do not want to know. But there are many who do believe in Jesus. We can see that we have heard and read that Jesus' mission was to do the will of God, and so the Father was with him. We have been looking at Jesus' statement, "I am the light of the world." Here is a verse that sums up a lot of what has been said. In 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 7, it says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." To say that God is light is to draw attention to his uprightness, his righteousness. Light is a natural symbol for attractive righteousness, just as darkness is for the blackness of sin. There is no darkness whatever in God. He is all light. There is probably also the thought that our lives are exposed to the light that comes from God. Nothing is hidden from him. Because he is light, it is important that his people walk in the light. And for those that don't know Jesus, that they also turn to him and walk in the light. If you do turn to Jesus, or have done already, then this is what you can or have become. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 it says this: "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." How is Jesus the light of the world today? Psalm 119 verse 105 says this: "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." If we read God's word, then we will understand more about him, what he has done for us, and his purposes for us. Then we can declare God's word to others and praise him for who he is. What about people who don't read God's word and do not know him as their saviour? Paul gave instructions on how we should live in several of his letters to the churches. He said this in Philippians chapter 2 verse 14: "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life." We should shine for Jesus. Are you walking in the light?